Chapter 18. I have caused one of our engineers to make me a plan of the Squallop Estate, Didlisexshire, the property of Anciancy, be ordered on the north by Lord Barrister's country, on the west by Sir Granby Growler, on the south by the Hodion. An architect and server, a young feller of great imagination, whom we have employed to make a survey of the great Catherine in line, has built me a beautiful villa on paper, Plushton Hall, Didlisex, the seat of Idella P. Esquire. The house is represented a handsome Italian structure, embosomed in woods, and circumvented by beautiful gardens. Fears a lake in front with boats full of nobility and musicians floating on its placid surface, and a curricle is a driving up to the grand entrance, and me in it, with Mrs., or perhaps Lady Angelina de la Plutch. I speak advisedly. I may be going to form a noble connection. I may be, by marriage, going to unite my family once more with aristocracy, from which misfortune has for some centuries separated us. I have dreams of that sort. I've shone several times in a delightful vision a certain earl, standing in a attitude of benediction, and ratifying my union with a certain beautiful young lady, his daughter. Fancy Mr. or Sir James and Lady Angelina de la Plutch. Ho! Oh, what will the old washywoman, my grandmother, say? She may sell her mangle then, and she'll too buy my honor as a gent. As for Squallop Hill, it's not to be imagined that I was going to give £5,000 for a bleak mountain like that, unless I had some idea in view. Am I not a director of the Grand Didlisex? Don't Squallop lie immediately betwixt Old Bonehouse, Single Gloucester, and Scrag End, through which cities our line passes. I will have £400,000 for that mountain, or my name is not James. I have arranged a little barging too for my friend the Earl. The line will pass through a angle of Barrister Park. He shall have a good compensation, I promise you, and then I shall get back the £3,000 I lent him. His banker's account, I fear, is in a horrid state.
The diary now for several days contains particulars of no interest to the public. Memoranda of city dinners, meetings of directors, fashionable parties in which Mr. James figures, and nearly always by the side of his new friend, Lord Barrister's, whose pomposity, as previously described, seems to have almost entirely subsided.
We then come to the following. With a proud and thankful heart, I copy off this morning's Gazette the following news. Commission signed by the Lord Lieutenant of the County of Didlisex. James Augustus de la Plutch Esquire, to be Deputy Lieutenant. Apostrophe, North Didlisex Regiment of Yeomanry Cavalry. James Augustus de la Plutch Esquire, to be Captain, Vice Lord, promoted. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and is it so? Am I indeed a landed proprietor, a deputy lieutenant, a captain? May I hatten the court of my sovereign, and draw a saber in my country's defense? I wish the French would land, and me at the head of my squadron on my horse Desperation. How I'd extinish 'em! How the gals will stare when they see me in uniform! How Mary Ann would button on since! I'm always thinking of that poor gal. She's left Sir John's. She couldn't abear to stay after I went, I've heard say. I hope she's got a good place. Any sum of money that would set her up in business, or make her comfortable, I'd come down with like a man. I told my grandmother so, who sees her, and rode down to Ealing on purpose on Desperation, to leave a £5 note in an envelope. But she sent it back, sealed with a thimble. Tuesday. Received the following letter from Lord B, relative to my presentation at court, and the uniform I shall wear on that auspicious ceremony. My dear de la Plutch, I think you had better be presented as a deputy lieutenant. As for the Didlisex Yeomanry, I hardly know what the uniform is now. The last time we were out was in 1803, when the Prince of Wales reviewed us, and when we wore French grey jackets, leathers, red morocco boots, crimson pelisses,
brass helmets with leopard skin and a white plume, and the regulation pigtail of 18 inches. That dress will hardly answer at present, and must be modified, of course. We were called the White Feathers, in those days. For my part, I decidedly recommend the deputy lieutenant. I shall be happy to present you at the levee, and at the drawing room. Lady Barrisers will be in town for the 13th, with Angelina, who will be presented on that day. My wife has heard much of you, and is anxious to make your acquaintance. All my people are backward with their rents. For heaven's sake, my dear fellow, lend me 500 and oblige yours, very gratefully, Barrisers. Note. Barrisers may press me about the deputy lieutenant, but I'm for the cavalry. Julie will always be a sacred anniversary with me. It was in that month that I became personally acquainted with my prince and my gracious sovereign. Long before the auspicious event occurred, you may imagine that my bosom was in no trifling flutter. Sleepless of nights, I passed them thinking of the great event, or if existed matter did close my eyelids, the idea of my waking thoughts pervaded my slumbers. Courts, earls, presentations, gold sticks, gracious sovereigns mingling in my dreams unseasonably. I blush to say it, for human presumption never surely exceeded that of my wicked, wicked vision. One night I actually dreamt that R.H. the Princess Alice was grown up, and that there was a cabinet council to determine whether her end was to be bested on me, or the Prince of Saxe-Muffen-Hausen-Pumpenstein, a young Prussian German scion of nobility. I ask humbly pardon for this audacious idea. I said, in my former remarks, that I had determined to be presented to the notice of my revered sovereign in a military costume. The court shoots in which civilians attend a levee are so uncommon like the liveries, oh just what. I hate to put it down, I used to wear before entering society, that I couldn't abide the notion of wearing one. My determination was firmly fixed to appear as a yeomanry cavalry officer, in the gallant uniform of the North Didlisex Hussars. As that regiment had not been out since 1803, I thought myself quite authorized to make such alterations in the uniform as suited at the present time, and my measured and diligent taste. Pigtails was out of the question. Tights I was determined to minton. My leg is perhaps the finest pint about me, and I was resolved not to hide it under a bushel. I fixed on scarlet tights, then, embroidered with gold, as I have seen Widdicombe wear them at Ashley's when me and Mary Ann used to go there. 96 guineas worth of rich gold lace and cord did I have my hindering all over those shopperman expressibles. Yellow Mariki Hessian boots, red heels, gold spurs and gold tassels as big as bellpulls. Jacket French gray and silver orange facings and cuffs according to the old pattern. Belt, green and gold, tight round my person, and setting off the symmetry of my figure not disadvantageously. A huzza pelisse of purple velvet and sable fur. A saber of Damascus steel, and a sabretache in which I kept my odeclin and embroidered pocket handkerchief, complete my accoutrements, which, without vanity, was, I flatter myself, unique. But the crowning triumph was my hat. I couldn't wear a cock hat. The hussars don't use 'em. I won't wear the odious old brass helmet and leopard skin. I chose a hat which is dear to the memory of Hevery Britain, and at which was invented by my field marshal and adored prince, and at which vulgar prejudice and joking has in vain attempted to run down. I chose the halberd hat. I didn't tell Barrisers of this exhibition of loyalty, intending to surprise him. The white plume of the West Didlisex yeomanry I fixed on the top of this shako, where it spread out like a shaving brush. You may be sure that before the fatal day arrived, I didn't neglect to practice my part well, and had several rehearsals, as they say. This was the way. I used to dress myself in my full togs. I made Fitzwarren, my body servant, stand at the door, and figure as the lord-in-waiting. I put Mrs. Bloker, my laundress, in my grand armchair to represent the august person of my sovereign, Frederick, my second man, standing on her left, in the attitude of an illustrious prince consort. All the candles were lighted. Captain de la Plutch, presented by Earl Barristers, apostrophe Fitzwarren, my man, exclaimed, as advancing I made obeisance to the throne. Kneeling on one knee, I cast a glance of unutterable loyalty towards the British crown, then stepping gracefully up, my Damascus scimitar would get betwixt my legs, in so doing, which at first, was very disagreeable. Rising up gracefully, I say, I flung a look of manly, but respectful homage towards my prince, and then elegantly retreated backwards out of the royal presence. I kept my four subs up for 4 hours at this game the night before my presentation, and yet I was the first to be up with the sunrise. I couldn't sleep that night. By about 6 o'clock in the morning I was dressed in my full uniform, and I didn't know how to pass the intervening hours. My grandmother hasn't seen me in full fig, apostrophe says one. It will rejoice that poor old soul, to behold one of her race, so successful in life. As I have read in the novel of Edelworth, that the Earl goes down in court dress and extinishes Amy Robsart, I will go down in all my splendor, and astound my old washywoman of a grandmother. Apostrophe apostrophe to make this determination, to order my broom, to knock down Frederick the groom for delaying to bring it, was with me the work of a moment. The next saw as gallant a cavalier as ever rode in a cab, scouring the road to Ealing. I arrived at the well-known cottage. My uncle was absent with the cart, but the door of the humble abbot stood open, and I passed through the little garden, where the close was hanging out to dry. My snowy plume was obliged to bend under the lowly porch, as I entered the apartment. There was a smell of tea there, there's always a smell of tea there, the old lady was at her bowie as usual. I advanced towards her, but ah! Fancy my astonishment when I saw Mary Ann. I almost fainted with emotion. Oh, James! Apostrophe S. He has said to me subsequently, Marshal Man never looked so beautiful as you did when you arrived on the day of the levy. You were no longer Marshal, you were doing. Apostrophe apostrophe R. What little justice the artist has done to my manly attractions and the gross caricature he's made of me. Asterisk 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 this refers to an illustrated edition of the work. Dot 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 nothing, perhaps, ever created so great a sensation as my entrance to St. James, on the day of the levy. The Turkish ambassador himself was not so much remarked as my superb turnout. As a military man, and a North Didlis ex-Huzza, I was resolved to come to the ground on horseback. I had desperation figged out as a charger, and got 4 military dresses from Aliwell Street, in which I dressed my 2 men, Fitzwarren, out of livery, wouldn't stand it, and 2 fellers from Rymal's, where my horses stand at livery. I rode up St. James Street, with my 4 adicoms, the people huzzaing, the gals waving their handkerchers, as if I were a foreign prince, all the winders crowded to see me pass. The guard must have taken me for a emperor at least, when I came, for the drums beat, and the guard turned out, and saluted me with presented arms. What a moment of triumph it was! I sprung majestically from desperation. I gave the reins to one of my orderlies, and, saluting the crowd, I passed into the presence of my most gracious missus. You, perhaps, may expect that I should narrate at length the circumstances of my audience with the British crown. But I am not one who would gratify impertinent curiosity. Respect for our recognized institutions is my first quality. I, for one, will die rallying round my throne. Suffice it to say, when I stood in the august presence, when I saw on the right, and of my imperial sovereign, that most gracious prince, to admire whom has been the chief object of my life, my bosom was seized with an emotion which my pen refuses to describe. My trembling knees almost refused their office. I recollect nothing more until I was found fainting in the arms of the Lord Chamberlain. Sir Robert Peel happened to be standing by. I knew our witty premier by Punch's pictures of him, especially his licks, and he was conversing with a man of whom I shall say nothing, but that he is a hero of 100 fights, and every fighty fitty one. Need I say that I allude to Arthur of Wellington? I introduced myself to these gents, and intend to improve the acquaintance, and perhaps ask government for a baronetcy. But there was another person whom on this drawing room I fussed, at the inexpressible delight to build. This was that star of fashion, that sinecure of neighboring eyes, as Milton observes, the accomplished Lady Angelina Thistlewood, daughter of my excellent friend, John George Godfrey de Bullion Thistlewood, Earl of Barrisers, Baron Southdown, in the peerage of the United Kingdom, Baron Agismore, in Scotland, K. T.T., Lord Lieutenant of the County of Diddlesex, and C. This young lady was with her noble ma, when I was conducted towards her, and surely never lighted on this hearth a more delightful vision. And that galaxy of booty the Lady Angelina was the fairest star in that wreath of loveliness the sweetest rosebud. Poor Mary Anne, my heart's young affections had been centered on thee, but like water through a sieve, her image disappeared in a moment, and left me entranced in the presence of Angelina. Lady Barrisers made me a matchstick bow a grand, and awful puzzlage her ladyship is, with a roaming nose, and an enormous plume of ostrich feathers. The fair Angelina smiled with a sweetness perfectly bewildering, and said, "Oh, Mr. de la Plush, I'm so delighted to make your acquaintance. I have often heard of you. Apostrophe, who, apostrophe says I, has mentioned my insignificant existence to the fair Lady Angelina? Quel bonheur extrême pour moi. Apostrophe, for you see I've not studied Pelham for nothing, and have learned a few French phrases, without which no gent of fashion speaks now." "Oh, apostrophe," replies my lady, "it was Papa first, and then a very, very old friend of yours. Apostrophe, apostrophe, whose name is, apostrophe says I, pushed on by my stupid curiosity, Hoggins, Mary Ann Hoggins," answered my lady, laughing fit to split her little sides. "She is my maid, Mr. de la Plutch, and..." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.